You know, if Edgar Cayce's map is correct, John, about how this planet and how this country in particular will look in the future because of global warming and rising sea levels, we're going to lose a lot of landmass.
Well, it's funny about that. I was recently on a History Channel show, which is regularly repeated on History Channel.
I see you pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, it's called The Other Nostradamus, which looked at a comparison of Edgar Cayce's life and the life of Nostradamus. Both were healers, both were prophets. Both actually are known for their prophecies, but in their own lives did many other things that really reduced the prophecies to a sideline. But the prophecies being so amazing have kind of overshadowed all the other things that they did. Now, one of the things I really love about Edgar Cayce is, and there was once a very, it's almost impossible to find this book that Hewlin Cayce, Cayce's son, composed, and it dealt with how that all the times Edgar Cayce got things wrong, he really wanted to know why. He was not somebody, as so often happens in modern prophecy, who, when they make a big goof, just try to excuse it away as something else. When he would get something wrong and go, wow, I don't understand. Was I in the way? Did I block it?
Mm-hmm.
And that is his beauty and his humility. Also, one must understand that the most famous prophecy that deals with the sinking of the western states all the way to Nebraska, the famous prophecy about Cayce, was it one of his rare waking, well, one of his rare waking dreams, that is, that he had a dream and remembered it. Most of the times when Cayce was in trance, he didn't remember anything he said. The first thing he would say when he'd wake up on the couch was, did we get anything? But there are a few of his prophecies, very powerful, vivid prophecies, that just a handful that he had as waking dreams. I think one of my favorites is one where he met a rosy-cheeked child on a road and was introduced to this child who was Death. And he thought, oh, I expected Death to be a grim reaper.
And sure.
The child laughed and said, no, I'm innocence returned. And that's one of my favorite things from him. But this prophecy about the sinking of land masses to Nebraska was outside of the usual way Edgar Cayce read. And it's interesting to note that all the precursors to this great shift of the Earth's axis that was going to cause all these landmass changes, the first wave, which he said had come in two waves, and he was spot on about dating and describing the series of earthquakes that would hit as a precursor, the first wave, and that was in from the 58 through the early 60s. He predicted accurately the Alaskan earthquake, the Moroccan earthquake, a number, Etna's eruption, most violent eruption really at that time. But all of his other predictions leading up to the second wave around 1998 that would presage the shift of the Earth's axis causing these great changes in Earth's land masses, that almost none of that happened. And I imagine if Edgar Cayce were still alive, he would still be humble enough to go, wow, did I get it wrong or did things change? Or have they been delayed? Or are we doing things... Is crisis in our world actually generating something deep inside us collectively that's beginning to change the climate of the consciousness of our planet? He might have asked those questions.
I think so, too. And it would have been interesting. I would have loved to have seen Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce in a room together, John. I wonder what they would have talked about.
Sounds like a great play.
You know what? You're on
this. I
should
write it.
That's your next one. Exactly. Exactly. Just squeeze in some talk show host somewhere in the middle of it.
Well, we have a part for you.
And we've got this this comet is splitting up called 73P, and it's coming this way. There are some that say it may come too closely this way. Most astronomers say no, not at all. But I always like to look at the passages of Nostradamus as it relates to any incoming objects. Anything there on the horizon?
Well, there is a prophecy that is definitely on the horizon. And there is a comet that he's describing falling, definitely on the horizon, dated for June and July, dated for a time when Mars and Saturn are equally fiery. That means perhaps in the same constellation fire sign. Well, Mars and Saturn on the 4th of June through the 22nd of July are going to be in Leo. Saturn has been there for a while, and as I've said in earlier shows, it has created a climate, of a bellicose climate of extremism, of demonstrations. A year ago on your show I was saying, or over a year ago I was saying, when this would happen starting last July,
right,
there would be mass demonstrations in the streets. Well, we see them now, especially today.
Yes.
And it's kind of a time of people being up in arms, people kind of going, wait a minute, you know, what's that? I didn't realize that my house was on fire. I didn't realize that things were coming apart. And so that's the good side of the Saturn transit, which has almost another year to go. But when Mars enters it, when that's happened in the past, and like clockwork in Nostradamus, his prophecies as an astrologer, these usually are the times of either the escalation of current wars or the inception, the creation of new wars. And so a comet is described falling, but it's trailing a trail of sparks, which makes me think that a 16th century man is talking about a missile and construing it to be a comet.
Well, now this comet is breaking up, so it's got trails of sparks.
The thing is that the rest of the prophecy describes what sounds like a war. I would say that the comet, if you're going to give it a name, call it the comet Shahab.
Yeah, which is the name of the Iranian missile.
Yeah, or call it whatever I can't think of the moment what the comet would be called in Israel, or the kind of ordnance that the Moab, might land on Iranian things.